Can't leave the game alone. Had to do it.
But I wanted to do hood rat stuff for my friend.
Well, you're sorry, hood
woman. It doesn't matter what your name is.
This isn't for the views. This is for the people.
This is a Patreon exclusive.
This was supposed to be a day off for your boy, but you know what? I love what I do. I know a lot of people were like, hey, what are your picks? Let's get them. It's going to be real short and simple. Talk about the three title fights, just give you my picks, but obviously I don't recommend betting on any of them. There's some heavy favorites. And yeah, let's get into it. Let's start with Piotr Jan Aljamain Sterling. I've never seen Jan go to the ground. I know, and I'm sure maybe someone can reference it. I know his takedown defense is very good because his footwork is very good. When you get a striker the caliber of Jan, the general rule of thumb is there's some holes in his game on the ground. Because you don't, it's like you only have, it's like playing a video game, right? And you're ranking up your character. You only have so many points. You can't put him a 10 and stand up and a 10 on the ground. It just doesn't work that way. And so I'm assuming he has some holes in his game on the ground, but he's gotten very good at not going to the ground, right? Mainly it's that footwork. And he's a quick twitch athlete, so he's got quick hips. That being said, if somehow they do find themselves on the ground, you know, needless to say, Aljamain is a beast down there. Coming out of, you know, that camp, that Matt Serra camp where their jits, their style is very aggressive, right? And then you combine that with his frame and athleticism, and you've got a very dangerous submission artist, right? He can snap them on you. You don't see them coming. He's a difficult athlete to deal with, that length and athleticism and that level of jiu-jitsu. So I think that's a huge problem if somehow it gets to the ground. But again, I don't know how it gets there. I think Jan's footwork is too good, and I don't see Aljamain being able to like get a single or really get under his hips, right? He's kind of the lankier guy. Maybe he could get a hold of an ankle or a knee lock somehow out of desperation in a scramble and twist him down that way. But I think ultimately what we're going to see is Jan piecing him up on the feet. He's super quick, fundamental, and then he's nasty too, right? Like he's a fighter at heart. I do think that we could see the calf kick come into play in this. Well, it could be from either one of them. I think it would be a great strategy for Sterling in his corner to try to unleash that calf kick early on Jan to take away his mobility. So then maybe the fight can slow down and he can pull him to the mat. Again, though, I've got the champ Jan piecing him up. I don't necessarily think he's going to put him out, but I think he's just going to outstrike him on the feet for the win. Megan Anderson versus Amanda Nunes. Look, I still feel like women's MMA is in its infancy. And so what we're still seeing are a lot of these fighters are really in their position because of toughness and perseverance rather than like actual skill. You saw, what's her name, Paige, now at Bare Knuckle, get worked by some girl over there, you know? And obviously now Amanda doesn't fall into that category, right? There are a handful of legit women fighters. You got Joanna, Holly, what's the girl's name? I'm forgetting, the Russian champ, right? There are a handful of them that are legit fighters that have been fighting since they were like teenagers. But a lot of these chicks, they're just like tough chicks that, you know, maybe have some marketability, some sex appeal, and they've persevered, and now they're in the UFC. And Megan Anderson seems to be kind of like one of those chicks, to be honest with you. Obviously, I think she's going to try to use her size. Now, does that mean she wants to keep it way out at her range? Because the problem with that is Amanda's distance management is elite. You know who Amanda reminds me of? Chuck Liddell. She reminds me of Chuck Liddell in the sense of she throws controlled haymakers. Usually fighters who throw big looping overhand punches tend to be reckless, right? And she kind of does it in a controlled manner. So for Megan to keep that at distance, at her range, it's going to be very difficult because, again, that's where Amanda is elite in her distance management, and then those big haymakers, and then the height difference, right? That chin's going to be right there. It's going to be right there for her. Now, there is a chance that Amanda feels Megan's power. She is a legit 45er. She's a big chick and doesn't like that, and then just pulls her down and safely wins the fight, because we saw her do that against, what's her name? I want to say it's, I have Al Germain's name in my consciousness right now, but it was a chick with a similar name like that. She was a police officer, and she was a kickboxer. And I remember Amanda came out and just didn't want to play on the feet. And that was the first time I saw her just take it right to the ground and do the safe thing. Some people have pointed to, you know, this fight had been rescheduled, I guess, because Nunes and her partner, they had a child. There was a rough delivery. And so she's had a tough 2020, like a lot of people have. And some people maybe are questioning, like, her want, her drive to still do this. What does she have to prove? And I understand that angle. I think one thing when you're talking about Amanda, though, is she has that nasty, right? Like, I think much like Jan, who we just talked about, you know, Amanda is a natural fighter, much like Chuck Liddell, right? When she gets in the ring, I don't think it matters what's going on in the rest of her life, at least from a mental standpoint. Physically, obviously, you got to be right. But from a mental standpoint, I think once she's in there, she is the lioness for a reason. So, yeah, I'd love to see it be competitive, but I hope Megan doesn't go down face first. Like, I could see a very vicious knockout from Amanda. That brings us to the champ event. Jan Błachowicz, Israel Adesanya. I'm trying to get better with the names, y'all. I'm trying to get better. I think the big news from yesterday was Izzy weighed in at 200 pounds. And all I kept hearing in the buildup to this fight was he was not going to put on any weight. He was going to walk in as an 85er. Now, maybe that is his walking weight at 85, 200 pounds. That's not what I was told. I think part of this was a mind game. I think that they said that, you know, leading up into this fight, just to mess with Błachowicz, thinking, oh, I'm going to have all this size advantage. And then they step to the scales and it's a 5-pound weight difference. Now, obviously, their frames are very different. And Błachowicz is probably going to be closer to 220 pounds. When the fight starts. But I just thought it was an interesting tactic from Izzy. I'm kind of with the consensus on this, though. I think that Adesanya looked at Błachowicz with the belt at 205, and it looked like light work for him. A plodding fighter who has one big punch. But maybe that's the danger in it, right? You know, there's so many parallels between Izzy and Anderson. He's kind of like the new wave of that. And we know that they both like to showboat. Their strength is their weakness, and it's their confidence and their flow, and sometimes the lack of a threat that they feel is in the ring with them. And so if Izzy starts trying to hit the matrix with his hands down, you know, maybe that's, I think that's the biggest danger for him, is that if he doesn't take it serious enough and he's in there and the dude is so slow that he just starts, you know, breakdancing in there. And, you know, we've seen things, weird things happen. But if I'm Jan, I think you got to try to smother him, right? You got to take the couture route. I've brought this strategy up several times in these last little UFC podcasts, but because that is the most effective way. If you have a size and strength advantage and you're at a skill deficit and a speed deficit, that's the most effective way to handle it. And that's why Randy Couture overachieved in this sport for 10 years, right? And so if I'm Jan, I'm smothering Izzy to the cage. I'm letting him carry my weight. I'm slowing him down. I don't know will the calf kick be utilized in this? I don't see Jan being able to get that off, but he's got to find a way to slow down Izzy. He can't play in space, right? That's the obvious thing. If they're going to stand and have a kickboxing match, I don't see how he lands that big shot. Now, could he pull him down? That'd be interesting. I'll put it to you like this. Błachowicz is going to have to get out of his comfort zone to make something happen in this fight. If he's just going to stand and fight the way he fights, it's going to be light work for the champion. And that's probably what's going to happen, right? I wouldn't put any bets on any of these underdogs, to be honest with you. If I were, it'd be Al Germain. I don't even know what the odds are on that. But as far as the other two title fights, I think it's always exciting to root or think an upset's going to happen. I don't see it on this card. I want it to be competitive. I don't really have you know, there's no villains on this card. There's nobody you root against, right? And so it'll be interesting. I just want it to be a nice competitive card with some explosive finishes. All right, y'all. I'm out.